This is exactly right.
Hi, I'm Erin Welsh.
And I'm Erin Alman Updike, and we're the hosts of This Podcast Will Kill You on Exactly Right.
We're back with our seventh season, which is bigger and better than ever.
Because guess what? We're now a weekly show.
This season, we're tackling everything from long COVID to norovirus, from the supplement industry to IVF, and so, so much more.
New episodes drop every single Tuesday.
Follow This Podcast Will Kill You wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, everyone. Al Madrigal from the All Things Comedy Network. Quick message about fundraising. Thank you so much for listening to an All Things Comedy podcast that you are supporting here. We have a sticker that you can buy for $5. It says, I support All Things Comedy. If you can go to tubestart.com, we have a brief campaign going to support our new studio. No one's making money off of this. We're hoping to just have this studio support the comics and make sure they can record in a great place at no charge. And thanks to you. All right. Appreciate it. AllThingsComedy.com, TubeStart.com. Thank you very much.
Are you leaving? Are you on your way back home? Either way, we want to be there. Doesn't matter how much baggage you claim. Give us a time and date. Terminal and gate. We want to send you off in style. We want to welcome you back home. Tell us all about it. Were you scared or was it fine?
Mouth horn.
With Karen and Chris.
Welcome to Do You Need a Ride? This is Chris Fairbanks.
This is Karen Kilgariff.
Karen and Chris, I'm the second one. Karen and I are leaving Mike O'Connell's house. Mike?
With him in the car.
He's in the back seat.
Mike?
Hello, how are you today?
I'm terrific. How are you?
Grand.
We are going to attend a comedy concert.
At the Monty, my favorite bar in Los Angeles.
It's beautiful inside the Monty.
It's the best.
You don't expect it when you first see that front door.
That neighborhood.
And, yeah.
Belies the look of the inside.
That's right. It's like a treat. It's a secret. It's like Narnia.
It is.
You walk in those swinging doors and you're like, what's this piece of shit pool hall going to look like?
I expect to go into a cloakroom and then an adventure will ensue.
And it does.
If I could say it, it would.
Do you know what it was before it was the bar it is right now, Mike?
They said that it was in a bunch of, what's his name, movie. It was like a junkie bar that they would sometimes use as a junkie bar in Starsky and Hutch.
Oh.
And they claim that there were, like, it was a bookie bar and there were knees broken in the back alley and stuff like that. But you never know.
You never really know when people start talking about broken knees.
Yeah, and they say that like it's the coolest thing ever. And you're like, I think that's not that cool.
Yeah.
And picks or it didn't happen.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Violence is the worst folklore.
Yes.
In my opinion.
It's not that hard. You can break people's knees. It's not like...
Exactly.
And then they talk about you for years.
Yes.
Yeah, well, it's nothing to brag about or write home about unless you're threatening your parents.
That's right.
This is true.
We are doing... Tonight, what's the full title of your show? Drunken Stories of Glory?
Drunken Tales of Glory and Shame. Stand-up comedy spectacular.
And Karen and I are both doing the show. We're all doing the show.
We're all doing the show. It's going to be some show.
It makes it a special episode that we're all on the show.
That's true.
It doesn't happen that often.
And thank you for the ride. Do you take people all over the place?
Yes, I work for Uber.
Oh, WABA.
When you say WABA, and I believe it's a word that you conjured, but does it not also make you think of Sammy Hagar?
What? Cabo Wabo?
Yeah, he has. He has that.
You said that like it was ludicrous because of Cabo Wabo, for God's sake.
I don't think
that's a place, isn't it?
It's taken over. Your word has taken over Wabo, even the place. It's Cabo Wabo San Lucas, right?
Yours is Waba, right?
Yeah, Waba. Soon it will be adapted by many. But.
The story goes, he was sitting on a stool in Cabo San Lucas, and someone walked in and said, "Van Hagar sucks. I'm a David Lee Roth man." And he immediately fell off the stool and vomited, and then an idea was born. That's the way that story goes.
With the guy that didn't like Van Hagar fell off the stool? Or Sammy Hagar?
Sammy Hagar himself. He hit his head, had a premonition. He said, "I'm going to make whiskey." That guy's right. I like David Lee Roth better also. That's how the story goes.
Intriguing.
Uh-huh.
Tonight, Mike, are you doing a new drunken story?
It's stand-up or drunk tales, like whatever you want to do. So I think I'm going to do some songs, some poetry, and maybe tell some drunk jokes tonight.
Nice.
I'm changing up the format.
Good. So there's no pressure for me to then, because I may have spent my drunk stories on the past.
You can do as you wish.
Oh, terrific.
It's really just an excuse for people to get together and have a great time.
I think that you should work for a morning zoo. Because that was just like the best.
That's the most insulting thing you could say.
Oh, no, I was in a lovely way.
Oh, never. I would never.
We've addressed it in the past. That when Karen tags,
I didn't mean to insult.
Certain comments. When you have to take on that role.
That's right.
Being the kiss of estrogen up front.
The what?
A kiss of estrogen. That's what I call any lady.
Just a wee bit estrogen.
Literally, none of those syllables together formed anything I could recognize as a phrase. Kiss of estrogen, I've never heard or imagined that phrase before.
I don't think that it is one that is common. Or
yeah, it's said
possibly
before.
A Sade song.
It's your Waba, really.
I think we found your Waba.
Finally. Where's mine?
I think by the end of the ride,
we're all going to have our own Waba.
We'll all have our own Waba.
What's been going on lately, Mike? Now, do you still work at the Monty?
I no longer work at the Monty. I just do the show every third Monday.
He doesn't need to work at the Monty anymore. Were you in Transparent?
No. Why does somebody else ask me that?
Oh, I don't know why.
I thought I saw you
in a picture with Jeffrey Tambor.
I would be telling you all about that.
That would be a big
like
brag.
Well, I combined your photo with Mr. Tambor with the fact that I know that in real life, your genitals are a mess.
You just can't tell which ones they are.
They're just pixelated. They're fine once you...
All meat grinders should come with directions.
Nonetheless, I feel that someday I'll find someone who will tolerate them.
Someday. That's your next romantic
dream.
Song.
Yeah.
Tolerate my genitals for 6 to 9 months.
Wow.
That's
how
long.
Why are you dead on?
That's how long it usually lasts for
Karen
me.
Karen is a professional singer, as are you.
But she just professionally sang a make-em-up.
I know. Yeah. She
that was really awesome.
Improv.
Thanks. I loved it.
I like to spring them on people.
Yeah, I like it when they're sprung. I like it when you do that.
That's why you're a match made in heaven.
Mike and I were actually going to, we probably still will. We were going to work on music together.
Oh, we must, yes.
But I think we're both exactly alike, where we were both like, the other person will get it together, and I'll just show up. And we're both so that way that it never happens.
Can I understand.
Show up while you guys are recording? Because I have a song idea that I want to do with both of you, because I can sing reggae pretty good. I want to do a reggae song about white people with cornrows.
Okay.
Or dreadlocks.
That sounds like a very viable comedy song.
Yeah. Are you sure that Weird Al hasn't done it yet?
Oh, you're right.
Have you done your research? That's the most important thing about comedy songwriting.
It's all research.
It's all research,
at the end
basically.
Of the day.
It's rhyming and research, the two R's.
I forgot that he did do that to the sound of I Get Knocked Down by Chumbawamba.
What was it?
It's a cornrow song. Let's just...
For real?
I wish, but no.
Oh.
He's trying to create some perfect world where...
where everything's been covered.
Where his whims occur.
See, I've found that with the show format, Mike, because I in reality do drink possibly to excess or have in the past, a lot of the stories just don't come to me because I've forgotten them because of the alcohol beast.
Do you have many stories that other friends, like from Montana or something, just tell you back?
Can remind me of?
Yeah, do some texting.
Yeah, maybe I should. Can you guys remind me of my worst moments? I'm sure they were funny.
It's a fine line between a dark story and a funny dark story, you know?
Yeah. I think that last time my instinct was to do a montage of moments, so I spent like just five of them by mentioning them, but I could elaborate on any of them. Like the stolen...
I really enjoyed your montage.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
That was a good one.
Karen, will you be doing a drunken story?
Yeah, to be totally honest, I haven't thought about this part of it at all today. I knew we were going to be podcasting and picking up Mike.
I have a guitar, too, if you want to do songs.
Oh, playing your guitar. I love that guitar.
It's a gentle sound.
Is it gentle, lady?
That I willingly share. Estrogen, if I'm not mistaken.
The kiss of estrogen.
Have you ever had to borrow a guitar from somebody who's obviously not excited about it?
Yes.
I love that. It was somebody's very, like, nobody can play my guitar.
And also, I'm kind of lower intermediate, so I kind of play it pretty hard, as I don't really know.
Sure, I'll take that Perrier. Thank you for providing it, Mike.
Yeah, Mike brought drinks for us.
Yeah, that never has happened. In the beginning, when we were all excited, we provided drinks for the guests.
Glad to be here when the passion is worn off.
That is the audio of a classic spit take.
Right on the fucking stage.
If anyone needs any genuine Foley work, that was a spit take landing exactly on the Zoom 6. Well, that's okay. Takes a licking. Oh, that was funny.
That was a good one.
I hope more moments like that happen and make up for my fake story about Weird Al.
And then your accusation that I stole something from Sammy Hagar. Yep. I mean, you open with an accusation that Guava is somehow...
I simply asked in a non-passive-aggressive way if Waba reminded you of Wabo. Cabo Wabo juice.
I did. There's so many things with Wabo. It's like Wabo Grill is now a thing.
Oh, yeah.
And then, you know, it's like, it's not like something that I've copywritten.
It is.
I've possibly stolen it from some...
Can you copyright a Tourette's-like outburst?
I've copywritten Wabacore, which is my corporation.
Oh, that's good.
Oh, yeah, Wabacore.
Wabacore, like, really is getting it done these days.
Now, really? Is the P silent?
How many employees do you have?
Well, I'm the only employee. I have nine Cabbage Patch Kids working for me.
Oh, right. Day and night.
He's not kidding. And they all reside in a large chair together.
I was at their birthday
yeah,
party.
Yeah, Darnell's 30th.
There's a beautiful photo of that.
Oh, yes. We are all... It was like... that's my favorite picture.
It's the best picture. Hey, it's beautiful.
Straight. Keep going straight.
But I can't. I was in the left turn lane. It's okay.
Oh, okay.
I can just do some other stuff.
Okay, sorry.
I don't think Melrose actually goes all the way. That's what I'm just remembering.
Yes.
Now we're on a podcast, but I'm telling you, I don't know. Should I put it in the machine?
Absolutely. There's always a segment on the podcast called Backseat Driver, and it should happen because I'm a horrible front seat driver, and I need all the help I can get. And anytime Karen offers it, I am appreciative. I hope it didn't seem otherwise.
No. I didn't realize you were in a lane. And you're right. That I was heading us right into that weird dead-end area.
Yeah, by the Virgil. That place, you know, I've had a bad taste in my mouth ever since I yelled at those people in line there.
Oh, that's right.
During the Guy Burnham.
You got beef over at the Virgil?
Chris heckled a line full of people waiting for a show.
I don't like when there's a comedian I've never heard of that's gross, way more popular than me. Who's young and handsome and been doing it 6 years.
That is upsetting.
It is upsetting, isn't it?
I think it's good to express those feelings. Don't keep them pent up.
But, Mike, you have been up. Please tell me for reals what you've been up to lately, because I have it in my head that you're just doing terrifically.
I don't know.
And my head never lies.
Oh, yeah.
It doesn't.
I was trying to figure this out, this route out. Sorry.
This way, right?
Okay.
Now I feel like a total asshole.
No.
Oh, because you're looking at your phone?
Well, I'm
the last time, Mike, I saw you, I can hold it.
Oh, okay.
Was on the WB lot when you were doing Sullivan and Sons.
Oh, yes. I was on a television program.
You were wearing a nice suit.
Yes, I know. They let me be a man who came out of the closet on the show.
Oh.
That was refreshing.
Do you still remember your lines?
My mother died, and... Well, I was like, oh, my mother's in the hospital. He's like, that's too bad. That's not good luck. And then I was like, and then I get a call and she died. And I say like, oh my God, she's dead. I can finally come out. I'm free. I'm free.
Is that how you read it?
Of course.
I love it.
And then I think take a right onto Virgil.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
He hates Virgil.
Oh, okay. I will do it.
Oh, but I thought you hated the Virgil, which is an establishment.
No, the whole street.
That's crazy.
Well, I drove by it anyway. There you are, you motherfucker. That's what I call that building.
It looks closed.
Oh, I'm sorry, Karen. We've made an effort not to drop the F-bomb, and there I went.
Is there no swearing? I know. I swear like a cross-country trucker, and it's sad.
That's why we have a jar up here filled with pennies. Every time she curses, you hear a jingle, and that's when an angel gets insulted.
Soon we'll have enough to go to Cabo Wabo.
Yeah, and like validate your story.
Mm-hmm. Prove it.
No, yes.
I also saw you by the fountain.
Oh, I love that fountain. I like to walk around Hollywood quite a bit. That's why getting this ride has been, it's just majestic.
Because you're a big walker?
Big walker.
Not a big driver.
Not a big driver.
Why don't you drive?
Why don't you drive?
I have a car right now. I drive it about. But I don't like driving it.
Yeah.
It's horrible. Because
you get to see a lot more when you're walking. Yes. And everybody's so grumpy in the cars.
So true.
When I first got the car and I had to sit in traffic for the first time, I was like, wow, you can feel the demon energy floating above the highway.
And it's kind of like, through the air conditioner.
No, this is really how everybody deals with the day.
Yeah.
It's really amazing.
It is when I am at my worst. And you've seen me filled with rage.
Mm-hmm.
Both of you.
Every time I come over Barham, because it's the only way to get from my house to Hollywood, if you leave any time after 4:30, it's bumper to bumper traffic, and it takes 25 minutes to get over what normally takes 4 minutes a hill to get. It's just infuriating by the time, and I'm mad at myself because I never add the additional time.
Right.
I never do the correct traffic math, even though I've lived there for 10 years.
Yeah, you just can't, you time it by as the crow flies.
I want it to be.
Yeah, I know, as I want it to be is the best way to, because it's like a whole city worth of people are just expecting it to be okay.
Yep. And like,
and that causes this great philosophical problem and traffic problem.
Yes. Because they're like, I'm an executive at Paramount. I should get there when I want to. Why should I have to wait behind this peasant?
Exactly. And then that makes people drive crazy, and they're usually in a BMW.
Yeah.
The people you're talking about. You know who you are out there.
Yeah.
All you executives who constantly listen to the podcast. By the way, thank you for listening.
We'd love to talk to you about some ideas about traffic.
Yeah, yeah. We're pitching a show about executives, and we'd like to pitch it to you.
And we're fine with you being grumpy in your cars. We totally get it.
It's basically about what assholes executives are. You'll love it.
Try not to get insulted, but I think you'll like the story arch. Or arc.
Story arch.
It's a fallen arch of a story.
Oh, we just cursed St. Louis.
The one thing I was doing, I got a song that I wrote is going to be in a movie with David Hasselhoff. And he sings it.
That's amazing.
What?
So I wrote this song because I was helping out on this movie. I was an associate producer on this movie. My friend Ken Jung is in. With David Hasselhoff and like Hulk Hogan and stuff.
Oh, that sounds
and,
amazing.
And they were trying to kind of come up with the last song that they could do, and or like, you know, like a song they could do in the movie. And I wrote some song, and they were like, okay. I gave it to David Hasselhoff, and he was like, Mike, I don't want to like it. I didn't want to like it, but I do. I was like, all right. So we recorded it. Can you give us a teaser?
Just a little taste?
It's about, like, ruling the world. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like a really positive... It's almost like a Katy Perry song or something.
Yes.
Like, for David Hasselhoff.
That's amazing.
So that was like... And he's one of my big childhood heroes. So
Because of Knight Rider?
Because of Knight Rider.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
It was a big deal to me and my brother. And so... and so...
Should I turn on third?
I think you can keep going. The machine says you can continue.
Oh, listen to the machine. Do not rage against it. When I'm around Mike, I accidentally talk like him.
I think that's the idea.
I'm really sorry.
No.
Is it?
Mike, I'm sorry that I always do that.
No, don't.
You're an influence on me.
That's good, right? Or bad.
Especially in the moment. Well, according to David Hasselhoff, it's bad, but he likes it anyway. Why would he say that?
I think it was just like he was...
He doesn't understand comedy.
He didn't expect to enjoy it, but then he did.
Okay. That's great.
I get confused when things are supposed to be satirical.
Yeah.
But you know what? I like it.
Oh, clearly a man who's done the videos he's done and everything. Like, I don't think he's joking when he...
Oh, he absolutely embraces the whole, like, he's just having a good time.
How about here? Left.
It says left on Wilshire, but...
Oh, let's do it.
Oh, is 7th... Why would you take a left on...
Well, probably because of some one-way situation. Once you get downtown, boy, do I sweat like I'm at LAX. So it's going
to
work out perfectly.
To the airport.
But it's not all
paranoid.
The way downtown. It's like right before.
Oh, yeah,
so we don't
sure.
have to get to the crazy
oh,
part.
Good.
No.
Just the scary to park part.
Yes. But then once you get, we'll push past that.
We'll get in the bar part, which is very safe.
That's the rad part.
That's the super rad part.
I wish that you had your guitar strapped to your shoulder right now because I want to hear your pop song. Maybe you can't deliver it until it's been...
Yeah, I've got to wait on that, I think.
Oh, well, then sing something else.
Tell me a joke. Yeah, that's we just became the guy on the airplane that says, oh, you don't seem funny. Maybe you have.
Do you want to hear the song I wrote for my upstairs neighbor?
Yes.
Take off your whore boots, take off your whore boots, take off your whore boots now. That's all.
Is she a big clomper?
She's a clompsy lady.
It's so funny because those shoes are very trendy right now, and I would say only 30% of the women that wear those shoes know how to walk in them.
Yes.
So it's just all you hear.
Rude to call them that, but it's just like at a certain point I'm like, are you just doing laps up there?
I like to call them Judy Loud Shoes. that's my nickname for them. Hey, Judy Loud
Shoes. It's almost like you're in some sort of psychological experiment where they ring a bell on one side of the apartment and then like cheese is produced at the other side of the apartment and they're going back and forth.
Climp, clump, climp.
Yeah.
Also, why can't they take them off if they're in their own apartment?
I know, because
they
feel so good, or that gives them power. I feel like those... Don't you feel like the gait of people improves with these... It's like men in cowboy boots, you know?
Oh, yeah.
It's just their gait changes, and you're like, I'm a little more cocksure.
Yeah, but those things are, well, at least to me anyway, are truly like torture. I don't understand being in your apartment and wearing them.
Yeah.
That's, I mean, if you need that much confidence, go to therapy.
Yeah, you've really bought into the whole thing. Like,
big time.
Yeah, aren't you? I buy into the commercial where you kick them off and put on a pair of chick jeans and lay back and take a Calgon bath.
You buy into 1978.
Yeah, I do.
100%.
She has an image to maintain, though, even in her apartment. Which
the image of a Clydesdale horse.
And it's just
the auditory experience of a Clydesdale horse.
Budweiser here.
And then I think you have to take... Oh, I'm so sorry.
It's okay. What do I take?
You take a left on...
Union Avenue. Oh, okay.
We have a little time.
Oh, I love
it. Is it a right? I think it might be a right.
Okay.
Because a right would go to 7th, right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Let us take a right.
Is this MacArthur Park?
It is.
Melting in the dark.
That's the best song ever that no
look
one
at
really
all that.
It's the best song.
Yeah. Oh, it's so beautiful. It's so weird.
I just bought Donna Summer's Greatest Hits, and that I can't stop listening to that song.
It's really long. It has many parts, and it's just like so beautiful, and you don't know if it's about love or what.
Yeah, it's about whatever you bring to it.
Yeah,
because a lot happens in that park. Sometimes it is love.
And not one mention of the Junkies. This whole 7-minute song with like 5 different parts, and not one mention of the drug abuse.
And not one mention of that trembling bush that says unspeakable requests.
Feed me.
I think, I get in the right lane.
All right.
And then up on the right says Union.
Yeah. Are you using Waze?
No, I was just using
Google Maps. Yeah. Google it.
Do You Need a Ride? Sponsored by Waze and Google.
Whatever gets you there, it's none of our business. Waze and Google.
Or is it our business? That depends on whether or not they answer our letters.
Did you see the Chillmeister? He took all of his time crossing the street.
Oh, that chill. Yeah.
just the chillest bro of all.
Judy Clompers and a chill bro.
They should get married.
They should at least have a cartoon.
Just wander around in circles.
I slowly walk the streets as my lover slowly walks above Mike.
She walks like she's in the streets, whereas I walk like I'm in her apartment because she kicked me out and I long for her.
Now there's a deep backstory to the duo.
Yep.
Oh, and then was seventh? Oh, shit.
Well, we can just go. Yeah.
Okay.
Not going so good. Now we are.
This is a gorgeous part of. Is this Koreatown, would you say?
I think this is.
Is it MacArthur Park?
MacArthur Park /
Well, I am a fan.
Westlake Village, maybe? Or
Westlake Village.
Of that white building. That I've never seen bricks be so shiny and shellacked.
Yeah, that looks nice.
It's beautiful.
That could be some kind of
You would never know someone was currently being murdered in there.
That's the old murder building.
That's where they won one a week at least.
Guaranteed.
Mondays, and they want to start the week off right with a freshie.
Down the basement. It does look like they just painted it.
I know that hotel is around here where they found the woman in, like, the water.
In the cistern.
Yeah, in the cistern. Oh. So every building like that I look at, I'm like, probably a body in the, in, like, guys, somewhere.
Don't drink the water.
Yeah, can you remind me of that story? Because that,
it's very upsetting. It's
a drunk woman, right?
Yeah. I think she was she an exchange student? Or she was Asian, and I think she was here either visiting or, like, as a student. But she was staying in this really shitty, what is it? It's the hotel.
It's like, I forget the name.
Maybe we shouldn't say.
But it's all, yeah, it's just like one of those hotels. There's one right down here that just kind of sells it like it's a Hollywood, in Hollywood, and it's like not in Hollywood, even though Hollywood's dangerous.
Yeah.
It's not in Hollywood, and people kind of live there. It's almost like a transient hotel.
Yeah. Okay.
So she was there. The last video they have of her is in the elevator, pressing the buttons all panicky.
Wandering.
Uh-huh.
Kind of.
And then she ended up dead in the cistern on the roof, which is where they hold all the water that everybody uses that stays in the hotel.
So people were kind of drinking her.
Drinking and showering and all the things you would not want to do with a dead body.
Why did she end up in there, though? Was there foul play or drugs?
I believe
it
was.
You could take a left right there.
Okay.
Or your soonest left.
Okay. Yeah.
Was it foul play? I mean, I think it really was.
Right? I think there was something super suspicious going on, but the fact that she wasn't found I think it took a while to figure that out because it was.
But even in a drug state, wouldn't you know? Oh my gosh, I'm climbing into a cistern.
No, she didn't climb in there. That's where they put the body, I believe.
Oh, she was murdered for sure.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awful. It's
really dark.
It's awful on like 90 different levels.
Okay, now I know. I thought, well, then of course there was foul play.
Yeah.
Oh, nuts.
I mean, because you can't really wander into a cistern or get up into it, I don't think.
I'm sorry that I made us even talk about it, but it is Halloween.
And so also, I could talk about that.
I know, you like, she watched the Dateline on it.
Oh, yes. I've watched them all. 48 hours on ID,
so
48 hours regular.
It is.
We're right here.
Oh, my Lord, we're so good at this.
We're so close.
Are you feeling, Mike, an urgency to get in there? You can totally say yes.
Oh, I mean, I don't I have to. Oh, shadows. It's in 600. Okay, lady.
Okay, lady.
Lady, please.
We will have arrived, but whatever you want to do.
Well, where are we at there, Karen, with the time?
Oh, let me tell you. Your destination is on the right. We're 27 minutes.
Oh, well, perhaps we can. What if we recorded some of the show? Is that a harebrained idea or what?
I don't think so.
No, I'd love that.
Let's do that, and then we'll all be at ease. We can hear.
Oh, and that's, you can park. Oh, there should be parking on this street.
Yeah.
It's so hard for me to do things and also drive and also talk, and I think...
That's why you're the perfect guy for this podcast.
Everyone gets frustrated with me. But I will bring us back to where we need to be in a moment. I just wanted to prolong our time together.
No, it's been joyous so far.
This is one of those blind benders.
A lot of those.
And since I've been driving for the first time in a very long time, I've had my car towed and someone knock off license plates, and you're like, this is why everyone's so stressed out every day. If a bad car thing happens, it fucks you up so bad.
Yeah.
I think that is how a lot of people move here with these hopes and dreams, and then something that has to do with a vehicle happens to them and they go back to Wisconsin.
At any moment, you could be like, there's most likely at least 27 people crying about their cars.
And crying inside their cars.
And crying inside their cars because it won't start or just for whatever reason. There's just...
Was this the spot right here?
Perhaps it did.
Look at that.
So many bad things can come of the car shadow.
Can we just acknowledge how sweet of a... In my time visiting you at the Monty...
Best
or doing your
ever.
Concerts there. I've never parked this close.
My comedy concerts?
Yeah, you have a lot of concerts there. And I've never parked right in front. This feels terrific, and I think it's a good omen for the night. And
the
also...
show is going to be the cat's PJ.
Big time.
The cat will slumber well tonight.
Comfily.
So should we just go in and experience?
Can you... This is portable.
It is indeed portable.
And we have some time
before
it comes.
I'll come in, so from this point, we're going to hear...
Before the shadow begins.
Should we all say one goal that we hope we reach during this show?
Yes, I think that's a good way. It's a good way to close things out. We're dead. I don't know why. Hello.
Hello.
Okay. Can you hear me?
Nope. Everything went down. Oh, you know what?
That
was simply my headphones.
Oh, good.
So the what you just experienced from me was panic.
Sure.
I also put in another spit take in there. I don't know if you heard that. But here we go.
Panic?
Yes. I often vomit when I'm nervous. I know it sounded silent, but what is sitting here is not silent at all. So, can you repose your question?
Yes. I'll say we should all say a goal that we hope to achieve in doing the show tonight.
Okay.
So I'll give my example one. Okay. I'll go first as the example one.
Okay.
Since I don't have anything planned, I hope to not shut down on stage based on reaction and instead think of a good story and just enjoy the telling of it.
I think that's... I almost want to say ditto, but I...
Yeah, I mean, that's no beautifully put.
It was beautifully put.
Guys, thanks.
I'm excited, if I could speak for you, to see you fly by the seat of your pants.
Thank you.
I think I rely on it too much. So tonight, I'm going to do something scripted.
Oh.
Which I have not yet written, so I've really made a bed for myself.
A scripted thing that you have seven minutes to write.
Yeah, I actually haven't. Can I change mine?
Sure.
I do want to go back to it being just like yours. I hope that I do a few jokes to spice things up and then follow it up with a drunken story about a car I stole once. Mike?
Sounds lovely.
Yeah, Mike, your goal would be the most important because it is your show.
Is to really run a tight ship.
Oh, shit.
And just really, you know, be just somebody that the other performers can look up to as far as punctuality is concerned. I also long for the guffaws to thunder through the bar for each performer as if they were the bulls of Pamplona. And for all that come and not perform, I wish upon them... the time of their lives.
Because they're the audience, right?
That went from a Native American... Like,
it might just be for us.
I love all the people that was.
There was a rainbow. A rainbow of Americans.
Yeah, it was all of us.
I want to talk to Mike more. We can do that.
I know.
Yeah, we can drive you home.
And right there in the bar, too.
Okay, terrific.
Okay, good.
Well, let's go in and have a comedy concert.
Wow.
As it has done for many years, Halloween once again arrived, filling me with a deep existential malaise that I have found is only accessible during the season of fall. I admittedly have never been a fan of the holiday, as it causes me great concern when those who lack personalities during the rest of the year decide to show the sexy, scandalous, or salacious side of themselves. Why would you reserve and then relegate your fun and all wild nature to burst forth on only one day of the year has always been a mystery more intriguing to me than that even of the Yeti or the monster of Loch Ness. As far as I'm concerned, if you are only having fun and outgoing one time a year, then you have fallen prey to the greatest of societal and peer pressures, the pressure to live a moderate and mild life. That being said, I do appreciate how this once pagan ceremony has been commandeered and turned into a holiday on which one gets brazenly drunk in the name of demons. Not wanting to be the grumpus without a costume, I pulled out my unitards from the closet, trying each of them on and deciding that I would be terribly foolhardy were I not to employ a silver little velour number that I had recently purchased at a thrift store. It made me look stupid, it made me look fat, but not content with just looking stupid and fat, I donned a mullet wig and my costume was complete. As I sit at the back of my unitard, I give myself a high five in the mirror and said, this is probably going to be the dumbest Halloween ever. And dumb it was. Oh, so dumb it was. Some friends and I did karaoke at a long-gone place in Santa Monica called the Bitter Redhead. There were about 10 people, and quickly everyone became quite depressed that they had gone through the trouble to even dress up for such a lackluster affair. We had many shots to dull the boardroom. Not even my rousing version of Tom Jones' Delilah could raise the forlorn spirits of my compatriots. I felt the demons, somehow displeased with our sacrifice, were conspiring to ruin a night that should have possessed so much levity, so much joy! At our lowest point, that being when a local drunk sang a gut-wrenching, scream-laden version of John Lennon's Mother, that would have haunted Mr. Lennon himself. An event occurred that would change the trajectory of our evening, nay, the trajectory of our lives. For it was then that three women of profoundly obese girth entered the establishment, dressed as a demon, a nun, and what looked to be a lumberjack. They came straight for my friend Nathan, Patrick, and myself. What do we have here? I said. It seems to be a demon and a nun. And judging from your flannel, you are either a male comic or a lumberjack. To which the lumberjack-looking lady replied, I'm not wearing a costume. Well, I said, honest mistake. For reasons that still mystify me, my insult must have been misheard or misunderstood. For the next thing I know, she grabbed me by the unitard and said to me drunkenly, I like you. You're coming with me. And me, lacking self-control and free will, said, of course, darling, of course I'm coming with you. We all jumped into the lumberjack's truck. Nathan quickly began to make out with the nun in the back seat as Patrick charmed demon. And I was in the front seat with the lumberjack drunkenly embracing an awkward silence that was nearly as large as a Rubenesque frame. We arrived at their friend's party and continued to drink as irresponsibly as we could for some time. Everything was going quite swimmingly until around 2:30 in the morning when it began circulating around the party that our friend Nathan, in a frenzy makeout session, had bitten a nun in a manner she found unpleasurable. Patrick and I tried to assure the demon and the lumberjack that we were not at all like that, as Patrick had not bitten anyone in years. And I myself, not in over 2.5 months, a new record for me. They required no reassurance, as we soon realized that these girls would have fucked us if we were Pol Pot and Stalin. The lumberjack and the demon became sufficiently drunk to take us back to their place. When we arrived at her apartment, she turned on a bright light in her bedroom that revealed to me the greatest quandary of the evening. Lacking sufficient light throughout the night, I'd been unable to discern her ethnicity. At times, she looked Mexican. But at others, she looked Korean, and even others mildly Chinese, and still others possibly Peruvian. I drunkenly convinced myself that I need not know her ethnicity, as it was possible that she was all woman at once. And to make love to her was to make love to all of femininity. The best and the worst thing about beverages of the booze-ridden kind is that they will allow you to justify any behavior, no matter how illogical or reprehensible. She took out a small box and offered me cocaine. Ah, oh, don't give me no cocaine, I said, as she goaded me until I relented. Now jazzed on that treacherous drug, and as faced as a hobo, she began to make out with me. I started off sheepishly, then announced to myself in my mind, fuck it, if you're in this deep, you might as well do it right. I began to rub her rotundity and turned up the passion. It was then when she abruptly slapped my wandering hand and proclaimed, you're being too aggressive, I'm going to sleep. I said, great! So what am I supposed to do with this raging boner? I don't care what you do with that boner as long as it doesn't bother me, because I'm going to fuck to bed. I lay next to her, and she somehow conquered the cocaine and entered her dream world. My boner would not flee. And soon I found myself furiously masturbating. Where do I ejaculate, I thought. She said she didn't care what I did with my boner as long as it didn't bother her, so I decided there was only one thing I could do. I would masturbate into her hamper. It seemed to me to be what any gentleman would do in that scenario. I spent the next 3 hours alternating between staring at the ceiling and masturbating into her hamper as I waited for her to wake. When she did, she was hungover. She was grumpy. And she was infinitely more unpleasant than I remembered her being. Get your unitard on. We're going to Norm's and you're buying me steak and eggs. Yes, ma'am, I said. I sat in that Norm's in my silver unitard and my mullet wig, nursing a Diet Pepsi with this glorious woman as she ate the grisly steak and eggs like it was ambrosia stolen from the Mount Olympus. We were getting looks from the patients. Patrons, sorry. It's Norm's. They might be patients. We were getting looks from the patrons that are usually reserved for death row inmates, and I will admit we, or at least I, deserved it. She drove me home. To enhance the horror, or simply to amuse myself, I said to her, that was a lot of fun last night. Can I get your number? In your fucking dream, she said. I exited her car and then stuck my head back in the window and told her with a smile, by the way, if I were you, I'd probably spend the day doing laundry. I couldn't sleep from the cocaine and I spent an evening masturbating in your hamper. Good day, my lady, and happy Halloween. And that's all for the Drunken Tales of Lauren and James Show. Thank you all for joining us.
Are you leaving or are you on your way back home? Either way, we want to be there. Doesn't matter how much baggage you claim, give us a time and date, terminal and gate. We want to send you off in style. We want to welcome you back home. Tell us all about it. Were you scared or was it fine? Mouthhorn.
With Karen and Chris.